Hazard Audio.
This week on Sports Appeal, Mike Gross stands in for Matt Axelrod as the brothers Gross get into the NFL Week 4 with their recap. College football unbeaten, sports madness, the tweet zone, MLB postseason, and NFL picks. It's right here.
Recorded live at the Launchpad Studios in Chicago, Sports Appeal.
This is gonna be a home run! I just know it! Because I can see into the future!
With your hosts, Steve Gross and Matt Axelrod. Play ball.
Welcome to Sports Appeal. You guys know me. I'm Steve Gross. Matt Axelrod is not here this week. He's actually in Pittsburgh at the wild card game. So we brought in the big guns. My brother Mike. Say hello to everybody.
Hello, everyone.
Go find us on Twitter. We're at the Sports Appeal. We love interacting with you guys. All the music on the show is provided by Full Service. They're our studio band, and you can get all their stuff on iTunes and Spotify, or their YouTube channel. As always, produced by Johnny Five.
And powered by Hazard Audio.
On this week's show, we're going to do some NFL, as we always do, some college football. But let's start with Major League Baseball. The playoffs are upon us. It's October. We had the first game last night, Yankees versus Astros, with the Astros coming out on top 3-0. Not a big surprise. I expected the Yankees to lose, but it still hurt me as a Yankees fan.
Fuck the Yankees.
Yeah, Mike's a Mets fan, so we'll just ignore that little comment. But no one expected the Yankees to even make the playoffs this year, so I gotta be happy with the overall result. Let's move forward to some stuff that hasn't happened yet. The Cubs and Pirates are playing right now, so we're not gonna talk about that game much because by the time this comes out, it'll all be over. It'll be a moot point. So let's go to your team, Mike, the Mets. They're playing the Dodgers.
Oh, yeah.
What do you think?
This is a very, very scary series for the Mets, especially starting out with the two games in L.A. with your two heavy hitters pitching for the Dodgers, Kershaw and Greinke pitching the first two games. And everyone is really talking about the pitchers for this whole series because the Mets pitching is a reputation. But the X factor in this series is definitely going to be the batting, because in a series where there's going to be low scoring games, the bats are definitely going to be what wins this series.
Yeah, I mean, you got three candidates for the Cy Young in the National League. Two of them pitch for the Dodgers, and they're going to pitch the first two games, Greinke and Kershaw, like you said. So it's going to be interesting to see if the Mets can hit them. When they got Yoenis Cespedes in the middle of the season, he turned that offense around. One guy could make such a huge difference in the lineup, but he's been a real spark for them. And the Mets have Matt Harvey, Noah Syndergaard, and Jake DeGrom, who are all awesome pitchers. The difference for the Dodgers is they only have the two aces, and then it's a sharp drop-off after that.
Agreed, yes. Cespedes really turned it around. Just like a bad egg can make a team bad, he's like a good egg.
Okay.
He made a hell of a scramble.
Oh, wow.
He really brought up Granderson, Dutta. I think the Mets are actually probably lucky to have Uribe not traveling with them. He's just old as hell. And we've got Granderson, Dutta, and David Wright will really pull the team together.
Yeah, it's good to have David Wright back from his injury. He missed a good chunk of the year, but he's been pretty good since he came back. And the Dodgers, they've been just plug and play with their roster all year. They only have three qualified hitters on their team for the season. So I'll be looking to see how that plays out with their batting lineup.
The Dodgers actually kind of have a little beat up batting order. And with people like Jimmy Rollins, who's had a long drought, he's not really hitting very well. I really can see the Mets stealing a game in LA. So it's definitely possible that they could take the series with the Dodgers.
Yeah, it absolutely is. Let's talk about the Cardinals a little bit. The story with them is the pitching. John Lackey, Carlos Martinez, and Lance Lynn have all been really, really good this year. They got Michael Wacha, who's a great pitcher, and Adam Wainwright's coming back to throw out of the bullpen. So the Cardinals pitching is going to be really good. We don't know who they're going to play quite yet, either the Cubs or the Pirates, but that'll be a good series too.
So let's switch gears over to the American League, where we have the Rangers playing the Blue Jays in Toronto. And as everyone knows, the Blue Jays are probably going to win the World Series.
They're pretty damn good. They led the major leagues in home runs, second in the major league in batting average, and their pitching has been much better since the trade deadline when they got David Price. Marcus Stroman's coming back from injury. The Blue Jays are going to be a tough out for anybody.
But to combat that, the Rangers do have some pretty good hitting. They've got four guys hitting over 275. So it's not like it's going to be a cakewalk, but expect to see the Blue Jays take this one.
As long as they can deal with Prince Fielder, who leads the team in batting average, home runs, RBIs, OBP, and hits, I think the Blue Jays are going to be all right.
Johnny Five, take us to the tweet zone.
Tweet zone. Hit the tweets.
And our first one coming from our tried and true at MSedano63. Another fantasy question. Go figure. What do I do with Jordan Reed? drop him for Cleveland's tight end, or keep him and drop Jared Cook.
So basically he's asking if he should drop Jordan Reed or Jared Cook to pick up Gary Barnidge, the Browns' tight end. What do you think, Mike?
I think it really does not matter. The tight end position in fantasy football is probably the lowest scoring position there is. All those guys are very unreliable and a little bit garbage. It's the least of all the evils.
Yeah, I think the least of all evils. You got to hold on to Jordan Reed because he gets the most targets out of all those guys.
I might pick up Gary Barnidge just because it's a crapshoot. Could potentially pay off developing new chemistry with McCown, and he's had a couple touchdowns a couple weeks in a row. Might be your best bet.
All right, and our next question comes to us from friend of the show, Craig Calame, at Craig Calame, from the Kyle and Craig Show, interestingly enough. That is on WRLR 98.3. It's the voice of Lake County, so you can go out and check out that show there. But he's saying to us, who are you guys going to miss the most from the 2015 Blackhawks that won't be on the team this year?
Definitely Brandon Saad. This is a 22-year-old kid, fresh young talent. Last year, he had 23 goals and 29 assists. He's going to end up threatening the Blackhawks in the playoffs. The Blackhawks are definitely going to be missing him.
I got to go with Patrick Sharp. He's the favorite of all the ladies.
Of course he is.
Attractive man. He kind of had a down year last year, only 16 goals, 27 assists. But it's not just about the numbers with him. He's really been a clutch player for the Blackhawks. He has 3 more game-winning goals than Patrick Kane does. So he's been there when it matters. They're really going to miss his leadership and his clutch play.
And that 5 o'clock shadow.
And our last tweet. Did you Gross Brothers know that we actually have doctors who listen to the show?
Doctor?
What? Oh yeah, this one at Dr. Sorden. If the Royals pitching staff can control the Astros' power, do you think the Royals defense will win this series?
Yes, I do. The Astros' power is pretty much what their offense is. They hit a lot of home runs. They don't have a lot of guys that hit for average. So if you can control the Astros' power, then there's nothing else really that they could do offensively. And the Royals are a really excellent defensive team.
I totally agree with you. It's going to be a fun series to watch. The Royals have had a tendency to get in some brawls this year.
Yep.
So maybe the doctor will actually be needed on the mound.
Totally possible. Two really high-energy teams. It'll be a fun series.
And when we come back, we'll be talking NFL Week 4 recap, and we'll touch on all the unbeaten teams in college football.
Hey guys, it's Steve here. I know a lot of you have been wanting to try out DraftKings.com. Now is the perfect chance to do that. Fantasy sports fans are winning huge cash prizes every day at DraftKings.com, America's favorite place to play daily fantasy sports. Daily fantasy means no season-long commitments. You just play whenever you want, pick your sport, draft your team. It's like a new season every time you play, so you're never stuck with the same players. Last year, $300 million were won at DraftKings.com, and you could be the next to win big. Go to DraftKings.com now and enter promo code HAZARD to play for free. That's HAZARD for free entry now at DraftKings.com.
Welcome back to Sports Appeal. I'm Steve, and filling in for Matt Axelrod this week, we have my brother Mike Gross.
Heyo.
We'll start this segment by talking about NFL Week 4. Just go over a couple of the games from this past week. Let's start in Seattle. Controversial ending to the Monday night game between the Lions and the Seahawks. Calvin Johnson was going in for a touchdown with about a minute and a half left. Cam Chancellor comes from behind, punches his ball out. And then KJ Wright just gives a little tap, tap, taparoo out the back of the end zone.
It is unbelievable how lucky these Seahawks are.
I know.
They did not play very well. That was an ugly football game. Another ugly football game.
Yeah.
Russell Wilson somehow got the team some points with a depleted running back core. Honestly, I was hoping that the Lions were going to pull it out at the end. They deserve a win. Calvin Johnson just 6 inches short, and the Seahawks steal one.
I know, they really did. Russell Wilson had 2 turnovers in that game. The Seahawks have not been playing good football this year. They're only 2-2, and I'm not even sure they deserve to be 2-2. So the Lions absolutely got robbed. When the ball got batted out of the back of the end zone, it should have been a penalty.
Here's Jerry Austin talking about the call after the game.
Once the ball's in the end zone, you can recover it, or it can get muffed out as you're trying to recover it. But if you intentionally bat it, and that was an intentional act, then that is a foul.
So the Lions should have had the ball on the quarter-yard line with the opportunity to run it into the end zone and take the game from the Seahawks. Instead, they fall to 0-4. Dean Blandino, the head of the officiating crew, has said it was the wrong call, but that does not help the Lions. They're still 0-4.
And just like all sports, you got to be good and lucky. And this time, the Lions were unlucky.
They were unlucky. And the Lions are the last team in pro football without a win, and it's the 7th time in history that they're the last team to get a win.
I honestly just feel bad for Matty Stafford. This guy deserves to be on a winning football team.
He's got all the talent in the world. He's got good wide receivers. They have no running game, though, and their offensive line is struggling. Let's move on to the London game. This game started at 8:30 in the morning, Central Time in Chicago, where we are.
Good morning, governor.
The Jets totally dominated this game. The Dolphins just looked terrible. They're a tire fire.
Jets offensive line really dominated the Dolphins D. Chris Ivory went for, I think, 166, career high, which is absolutely embarrassing. You cannot be giving up career days. You're not going to win a football game.
Yeah, they spent all this money on Ndamukong Suh for the defensive line. All you have to do is double team him and you can run the ball all day. And their offensive line is just as bad. He might as well have five sock puppets in front of Ryan Tannehill. He's getting no protection whatsoever.
Six if you count Tannehill.
He's more like a tackling dummy. He's taken a lot of abuse this year.
So then we have the Cowboys and the Saints playing Sunday night. Another really ugly primetime football game.
Really ugly. We're really getting hammered with these primetime games this year.
We're watching Brandon Whedon, backup quarterback, playing Drew Brees, who has half of a working shoulder.
Yep.
It was just ugly.
It was ugly. Brandon Whedon actually led the Cowboys 91 yards down the field in the fourth quarter to tie up the game with an amazing catch by Terrence Williams.
Countered by Drew Brees, ran a 1 minute drive. There's no timeouts. Got them in field goal position. Positioned to win the game. And there's a doink! Missed field goal.
There was a doink. There were a ton of missed field goals in the NFL this week. This was one of them right at the end of regulation. Didn't matter. Did not matter. The Cowboys found a way to lose the game. 13 seconds into overtime. 80-yard pass to CJ Spiller. No one's catching him in the open field.
Jerry Jones is thrilled.
So let's change gears right now. We'll go to college football, where we have 20 undefeated teams 5 weeks into the season. That is a ton of undefeated teams. There's only three that are not ranked in the top 25 in either the AP or coaches poll. Houston, Temple, and Navy. They're all undefeated. None of them are ranked. Which undefeated team is the most surprising to you?
Toledo Rockets.
All right.
I love to see a MAC team succeeding. The past couple of years has been NIU. Toledo really has the tools to get it done this year. They've got a massive, powerful defensive line. They took care of Arkansas, which was a major upset.
I've been really impressed by the Memphis Tigers. They got good wins over Cincinnati, South Florida. Bowling Green, who has been really surprising this year. Bowling Green's been a great team. They've destroyed Kansas. This Memphis offense is really good. They've scored over 40 points in four of their five games. They're really, really impressive.
Another team to really keep an eye on is the Utah Utes. Travis Wilson is at the helm. He's the most efficient passer in all of college football. Devontae Booker, this guy has been an all-star back ever since he's been at school. Even when the Utes weren't that good, this guy was still running the games. It'll be exciting to see how they turn out.
Yeah, the Pac-12 is kind of a jumble right now. Utah's really seizing their opportunity being the only unbeaten team in that jumble because UCLA lost, USC lost. Arizona's got some major injury problems, and they've been losing. Arizona State, a lot of people like them. They've been losing. Ugh. So the Pac-12 is there for the grabbing for Utah. Oregon, big time struggles up in Eugene. So Utah, definitely keep your eye on them. In the Big Ten, we've got Ohio State, Michigan State, Northwestern, and Iowa, all undefeated. Ohio State and Michigan State have not looked great. Northwestern, been pretty damn impressive.
I know you're really high on Northwestern. I'm not quite sold yet, but I do know one thing, and that is that Ohio State and Michigan State will not remain undefeated. They just have not had the cojones to go undefeated the rest of the season, especially in the Big Ten with such major teams.
Yeah, Ohio State's schedule is pretty easy. They do have a big matchup with Michigan State, so that could be their loss right there. Michigan State has to contend with Michigan, who all of a sudden is a really good team. You can absolutely see both of these teams lose this year. And who's going to jump to the front? Who knows? Maybe Baylor, maybe Utah.
Maybe Oklahoma.
You really like them.
I do like Oklahoma. I love Baker Mayfield. He reminds me a lot of Russell Wilson in the best possible way. They really move the ball well. I could definitely see them closing out the year without a loss.
Yeah, they should have a big win this week. They're playing Texas, which used to be a huge rivalry, but Texas smells like three-day-old garbage this year, so Oklahoma's just going to roll them.
Another wonderful analogy.
I'm just coming up with them. I don't know where they come from.
Oh, yeah, and the other undefeated team in the Pac-12 is Cal, but I really don't like Goff. He does not have what it takes to lead the team, and they really haven't put up results against a decent defense. I go with the Utes, definitely in the Pac-12.
Yeah, and Cal and Utah matching up this week, so huge game in the Pac-12. It's going to go a long way towards telling us who's going to take that conference.
When we come back for our next segment, we're going to be doing our NFL picks for the next week, sports madness, and I'm going to make a very bold prediction.
Fantasy sports fans are winning huge cash prizes every day at DraftKings.com. Last year, $300 million were won, and you could be the next to win big. Go to DraftKings.com now and enter promo code HAZARD to play for free. That's HAZARD for free entry now at DraftKings.com.
This is Sports Appeal. I'm Steve. That's Mike.
Yeah.
Let's get right into our NFL picks for this week. Picks against the spread. Axelrod's not here to mess it up again. So, Mike, hopefully you'll do a little bit better. And I will let you do the honors, Mike. You're the guest. Who do you want first?
First, I'm definitely going to take the Raiders at home against the Broncos with 5 points. This is a huge conference rivalry game. The Raiders are coming off of a very disappointing loss to the awful Chicago Bears. Derek Carr is due for a big game, and I think this is the week he's going to really connect with the likes of Michael Crabtree, Amari Cooper. They got Latavius Murray in the backfield. This is a done deal. The Raiders will not only cover the spread, but they're going to win the game.
Oh, upset pick. My first pick, I'm going to go with not an upset, the New England Patriots. -9.5 at home at Gillette with the Cowboys coming in. Woo. Their defense is decimated with injuries. Do not trust Brandon Whedon against Bill Belichick at all. Tom Brady has been on fire. I'm just going to keep taking the Patriots until further notice.
That's unfortunate. My next pick has to be the Rams, +9.5 at Lambeau against the Packers. I know the Packers are excellent. Aaron Rodgers is really hard to beat at home. The Rams seem to have a knack for upsets, being the pesky underdog team. Nick Foles has a cannon arm, and with the likes of Tavon Austin, Todd Gurley, the Packers will not cover the spread.
9.5 is a big spread, and the Rams have a good defense, so with a good defense in a game like that and a big spread, smart to take the points. My second pick is going to be the Giants -7. I'm taking another big favorite. They're at home in the Meadowlands against the floundering 49ers. The 49ers are a mess right now. Colin Kaepernick looks like he forgot how to play football. Their defense is okay, but the Giants' offense has been pretty good. They've had big leads in every game, and they have won 2 games in a row.
My last one, I'm going to take Atlanta -7.5 at home against the Redskins. The Redskins look dismal. Devonta Freeman and the Atlanta run game is really taking off. This is no contest.
Yeah, the Redskins' defense has looked pretty decent, but no one's been able to stop that Falcons' offense, so I have no problem with that pick whatsoever. My last pick, I'm taking the Jacksonville Jaguars. They're +3 at Tampa Bay. Jameis Winston giving up 3 points. Yeah, no way. I'll take the Jaguars +3. Blake Bortles is really starting to play a lot better. He's got 2 good wide receivers in Allen Robinson and Allen Hearns. TJ Yeldon got his first 100-yard game in the NFL last year. I like the Jaguars +3 at Tampa Bay.
This is going to be another garbage game that I would definitely not bet on.
It's going to be an ugly game, but the Jaguars will win by 10. And before we move to sports madness, it's time for another bold prediction. We're going to start having all of our guests do bold predictions. So, Mike, you're our first guest to do this. Give us a bold prediction.
Looking into my crystal ball, the National League champions are going to be none other than the New York Mets.
Of course, he picks the Mets.
They will be led by Thor to the gates of victory. I don't think they're going to win. They will not enter the gates, but they will be at the gates.
Right outside.
Right outside, peering in. It's a lovely view, but I might be the only person that is picking them.
All right, so there it is. There it is, our first bold prediction. Mike says the Mets make it to the World Series representing the National League. We'll see.
And with that, let's go to Sports Madness.
Sports Madness.
All right, our first Sports Madness story has to do with a report that came out about a week ago that the NFL finished a calendar month without a player arrest for the first time in more than 6 years. There was an arrest in the NFL for 79 straight months, and then in September, no one got arrested. As it turns out, might not have been true. September 30th, Doriel Green Beckham gets arrested for an unpaid speeding ticket. You have gotta be kidding me.
The streak is alive and well. It's been 80 beautiful months, and I can't wait for 80 more.
The speeding ticket that was unpaid was for $92.48, which doesn't really make a lot of sense because he just signed a huge deal for 4 years, $5.6 million. Just pay your ticket, dude.
Our next story comes from the land of fantasy and focuses on DraftKings.com. Apparently, an employee of DraftKings, quote, accidentally leaked some NFL data before week three and then miraculously ended up winning $350,000 off of rival fantasy site FanDuel.com. This has insanity written all over it. It was only a matter of time before there was some sort of scandal with all these brand new betting fantasy sites. People are comparing this to insider trading, sharing percentages that players are used in certain fantasy leagues, giving their employees an advantage. There's no way that this could possibly be legal.
And this is DraftKings bad. Like, the employee, yeah, there's a lot of culpability on the employee, but DraftKings allows their employees to play on FanDuel. You cannot have that. If you're in this industry, you can't allow your employees to play on other sites. They have a lot of inside information. They're going to use it. This is bound to happen. Terrible misstep.
Our next story is from the gift that keeps on giving, our favorite Gilbert Arenas.
Love Gilbert Arenas. So there's a story about him in TMZ. The headline, this is a direct quote, what the headline is: Gilbert Arenas sues baby mama for libel, ... I never gave you STDs. So I want to read a couple excerpts from this story. Speaking of the gift that keeps on giving, STDs. Hey!
And babies.
The story begins, there's a difference between being sore over someone and giving sores to someone.
Oh my God.
Yeah, really, really good. Another quote that I really liked, claiming she concocted a diabolical scheme to humiliate him on a global scale by making everyone think he's rotten in the genitals, even though she knows he's not.
People wonder why pro athletes get a bad rap.
Yeah, this is totally him being victimized by his ex-girlfriend, baby mama person. Who knows if it's true or not? I don't know.
And this lawsuit is for libel, which means that the statement was in print, which in turn means that she had to tell a news source, which then printed it.
Yeah, it's in black and white, which is really hard to erase, almost as hard as genital sores.
Good news is, everything's treatable.
Well, almost everything.
So that'll do it for Sports Appeal. That over there is Steve.
And that over there is my brother Mike filling in for Matt Axelrod.
Thanks so much for having me. Tweet us at The Sports Appeal. We are produced by Johnny Five
and powered by Hazard Audio.
Dolby Surround Sound. And playing us out is Hotter in the House by Full Service.
game started at 8:30 in the morning Central Time in Chicago, where we are.
Good morning, Governor.
Hazard Audio.